Welcome to season 4 of The Other 80. I'm Claudia Williams. When I started this podcast over 3 years ago, I just left my job running a big health tech company. Biden was in office and COVID was heading towards endemic. And now it's hard to believe that in just 3 years' time, public health is in such a different place than it was when this podcast began. I'm not going to dwell on the cuts or the politics or the drama of it all, but I've been reflecting on what stories really matter. And for me, it's time to dream big and boldly, because in the midst of the disruption and change, we actually have a chance to shift directions, to reimagine what's possible. And so I invited a bunch of my former and upcoming guests to do exactly that for this season opener. I asked them, if you could fund and launch a moonshot idea that reimagines how we create health, what would it be and why? They shared some incredible ideas that are both inspiring and hopeful. And maybe it's the tonic you need to see that there are still routes forward. There is still room for positive change. And if we work together, we can make these moonshots reality. We'll start with five ideas that are somehow both simple and groundbreaking. First up, a moonshot that's so approachably simple, it might just change the way we move. Here's writer and mobility expert David Zipper.
My name is David Zipper. I'm a senior fellow at the MIT Mobility Initiative. And my moonshot idea is to give absolutely everyone in the US a electric bike or electric cargo bike. If you fast forward to a world in which people who live in the United States and are taking short trips and are doing so on an electric bike or a cargo bike instead of by car, I think it would be transformative for public health in a whole variety of different ways. There are a number of studies that show that people who have an electric bike as opposed to a pedal bike, they bike further, they bike more because it's really fun. We would not only see more exercise, you'd see fewer crashes in urban areas, and we have in the U.S. a much higher rate of crash deaths than other countries. And of course, we'd have less particulate and tailpipe emissions, which is one of those sort of quietly deadly trends that we really need to look at in this country. But I say, look, given all the externality benefits and the public health upside, just give everybody one. They only cost a couple thousand dollars each. We have, 130 million people in this country, and we're recording this in July of 2025. God knows the U.S. is putting a lot more money toward a lot worse initiatives right now. So that is my moonshot idea.
We often look to countries in Europe who center activity in their daily lives, more walking, better access for cyclists, and a lot of times the residents of these countries are happier and healthier. So why not us? Next, we go from the physical to the digital. My UC Berkeley colleague Maya Peterson shares how we could reimagine care by leaning into AI tools. Here's our quick moonshot interview.
Maya, it's so great to have you back on the show. And the question we are asking today is if you could launch one moonshot idea that reimagines how we create health, what would it be and why?
Well, thank you so much for having me back, Claudia. So my name is Maya Peterson. I am a professor of biostatistics, epidemiology, and computational precision health at UC Berkeley. And I am the Berkeley co-director of the program in computational precision health. So this is a joint program between Berkeley and UCSF, really focused at the intersection of computer science, AI, clinical medicine, and public and population health. So when you think about what really good care looks like, is that a good provider goes far beyond textbook knowledge or clinical guidelines or knowledge that's published in papers. So really good clinical care really doesn't come down to just following a recipe book better. It's knowledge, but it's knowledge that isn't written down. It's knowledge that's earned through hard-won experience. And it does exist out there in the world, really encoded in the actions that skilled providers take. So with that premise, the idea that I want to launch, and I think the opportunity we have right now, really arguably for the first time ever, is to be able to harness the revolutionary advances that we're seeing in AI right now to encode this profound and deep clinical knowledge. So right now, this is knowledge that exists in the minds of providers and is expressed through their actions when they take care of real patients. So what I want to do is make this knowledge instantly available to all the people and at all the times and contexts where it can have the most impact on creating health. We do clinical trials all the time, but what people might not realize is the clinical trials and other sort of traditional medical evidence base is the tip of the iceberg of what you need to know to take care of people. And then, of course, for so many other people, they don't have access to that expertise. And that's true globally, but also domestically in our strained healthcare systems. People can't get access to the care and expertise they need at the times they need it. So the moonshot that I want to launch is really AI supporting optimal personalized care deployed at every stage of an individual's health journey, accessible directly by the individual, by their primary care provider, by any specialists. It's a moonshot. It's supposed to be a moonshot. I actually think it is very doable and well within our reach. We actually did get to the moon in a short amount of time.
One of the tech platforms I was most excited about probably 15 years ago was Patients Like Me and the promise of micro communities around specific conditions and specific experiments. And that kind of, I think, spirit of experimentation that patients often bring to the table. And often it's rejected by the healthcare system where they're like, that's dangerous, or we don't want you to do that, or that's not tested. And so I actually wonder if this could also be the advent of a new openness to patients' expertise and their ability to run their own experiments and do it in tandem with their care team, but in a way where they could actually share those results directly with other patients as well.
I so strongly believe in that vision. Yes, yes, yes. I could not agree more. I mean, there's this gap between platforms, data, methodology, but pulling it together to actually impact people. And that is a perfect example. Like, we have the ability to empower individuals, whether they're consider themselves patients or just regular people living their lives, to actually empower them with the ability to do that self-experimentation along with their goals in a super rigorous way that lets them learn as much as possible and then could share that. So I couldn't agree with you more. And I think as we start building, I mean, AI is, it's not coming, it's here, right? And AI in health is here. As we think about how do we build systems that really benefit individuals, benefit people, and do this in like also a fair way that like lifts all boats, I think that's going to have to be part of the solution.
Next up, Cody Kinsley wants to deep six patient co-pays, or patient engagement, as it's really euphemistically called.
My name is Cody Kinsley. I am a senior policy advisor with Johns Hopkins University. Do a number of other things, most recently was the Health and Human Services Secretary for the state of North Carolina. My mind on this question goes really to the center of trust and to the center of how we have financed our health system. And while I think this will sound perhaps simple, I do think it is a tough moonshot for us, which is we need to give up on the concept of patient responsibility. I think we have to rethink our health system as being a consumer-driven market and recognize that the power systems and the dynamics as far as how it is driven is so much larger than that. And we have injected patient responsibility as a simple frame that people as consumers would make choices and choose the cheaper option. And if we could align the cheaper option with the more quality option, then we could lower cost of care and we could improve health. And I think we just have to throw the towel in and say we fail. Medical debt is the leading cause of bankruptcy in this country. At a moment when someone is suffering one of the most catastrophic health issues in their lives, where they literally see their mortality on the line, they're hit with bills, they're trying to make choices between what is right, they're fighting with insurance companies because of these costs that are involved, and just the power dynamics are wrong. And if we want to recenter this system and promote health, then we have got to take this destruction of trust out of the equation, which is patient responsibility. I had a health system CEO tell me that their competitors, as they think about building out their facilities, is really not hospitals of yesteryear, but, quote, the Ritz-Carlton. They are building luxury consumer goods because that is what consumers demand. And we have to recognize that our health system should not be a luxury consumer good. And if we're going to be honest about that, then we need to take that responsibility and that weight out of the equation.
And I would say that same concept applies beautifully to the consumption of medical services, and but also to prevention, where people say you should eat better, you should exercise. And yet we have systems that we operate in where we're being constantly marketed goods that are not healthy for us in ways that are really hard to deny. And it's up to all of us to create environments that actually make it easier to be healthy instead of piling all that expectation on the person.
That's right. And if we could make things simpler for folks, you know, I believe that plain and simple, people will choose health when it is the options in front of them and when they have that information. I was in Taiwan a few months ago meeting with the health ministry in Taiwan, and there was a delegation of us. And, you know, they have no gatekeeping, they have universal health coverage. And we were wrapping our minds around how they try to control for overutilization. And it finally dawned on us, when something is not a scarce good, generally people don't want to spend a lot of time at the doctor. They don't want to spend a lot of time at the hospital. And that this mentality of trying to control costs by driving down utilization is simply not working. And I think the reason why this is so important is not just around the financing, but we have to start to rebuild trust here. If we want to do great things around supporting prevention, early testing, primary prevention, vaccinations, all of this will completely depend on trust. And right now, the relationships are centered and getting worse in one of mistrust, driven by frustration around financing. And we have to take that out of the equation.
Sometimes bad ideas permeate so much of our policy and practice. Cody wants to upend a common trope that patients need skin in the game. They don't. Next up, Pima County's Terry Cullen.
Hi, Terry. It's so great to have you back on the show. And I would love to get your big idea. If you could launch one moonshot idea that reimagines how we create health, what would it be and why?
Well, first off, thanks for having me. Terry Cullen, family medicine docs. I'm currently the director of a public health agency in Pima County, which is where Tucson is on the border. So I have been challenged thinking about this question, and I don't have a radical idea, but I do have an idea of what we need. I want to preface it by saying that there are people in my life that have had tremendous impact. One of them was Paul Farmer. Most of you probably have heard of him. He was at Partners in Health. And there's a quote he has, and I have it scattered throughout my life here. The idea that some lives matter less is the root of all that is wrong with the world. And I'm reminded of that regularly. So my non-moonshot is really to move forward with this very old concept with a little change on it, a concept of community-oriented primary care, but really change that to community-centered health. And what would that mean? That actually is transformative. It is not how we think of health. We think of health on an individual basis. So if we think of it from what the community needs, what the community has, how the community is resilient, and where the community wants to go, and give them the tools to do that. You know, data becomes important, funding becomes important, honesty, compassion, and respect become foundational. I think we would end up in a different place. And so if you think of what's radical, it's this transformation from, I care for you as an individual, family medicine doc, I love to do that. But really, at the end of the day, what I'm caring for is a community.
This is really resonating for me, but also echoing things I heard this morning from another person. I think one of the tricks we sometimes fall for is focusing on community and then thinking we already know what they right. want or what they need or even who they are. What would be some of the approaches that you've tried and have worked mm-hmm. to really come into conversation with a community, a group of people?
When the monkeypox vaccine first came out, I borrowed the information of how to go out on social media from the CDC. Within 2 hours, I had my community that was impacted by monkeypox call me up and go, "You got this totally wrong. You didn't even ask." Hard lesson learned. I've learned this repeatedly in my life. So I want to remind people that we all need to remember this, but it's having the community at the table, the whole concept of human-centered design, which there's now lots of great information and we use it, community-centered design, that the way you are informing what you do is really driven by the community.
I love Terry's idea. We hear a lot about human-centered design, but why aren't we pioneering community-centered design? Our last featured idea comes from a doctor who led Alaska's COVID response while isolating in her backyard yurt. Her moonshot idea, let's remove all the stupid barriers to preventive care.
All right, Anne, so great to have you. And the question is, if you could launch one moonshot idea that reimagines how we create health, what would it be and why?
Well, Claudia, I love that you're asking this question because it's an amazing time to think about moonshot. As you know, I am Ann Zink. I'm a practicing emergency medicine physician who saw that all good public policy comes to fail in the emergency department. But if I had one moonshot idea at this moment, it would be a way that we were able to provide to all Americans the most fundamental basic health needs and questions that they have. So for example, thinking about diabetes, smoking cessation, weight control, that we would be able to braid insurance programs on the back end so that anyone, regardless of insurance type, regardless of who they work for, don't work for, uninsured, Medicaid, had access to the most basic preventative health services that they need. I think we spend a lot of time thinking about the payer model, but I think there's a lot of ways that we need to refocus our healthcare system on the person and try to find ways that systems work for patients instead of asking patients to work for systems. So with a patient-focused lens, I would love for our country to have everyone be able to have free, accessible access to the most critical life-saving preventative measures that are out there in a one uniform way of doing it.
I kind of love how an example of that that's in a very different space is the various 988 numbers that were created to access yeah. crisis intervention, but it created this concept of a one door with a lot of local adaptation. And I wonder if it could look like that.
I was inspired by this idea from my team in Alaska who launched a website called Fresh Start. It's up and available. And basically anyone in Alaska, regardless of their insurance type, can get access to diabetes treatment, medication, counseling, obesity, hypertension, dementia, smoking cessation. So we looked at kind of what were the things that were impacting the overall health of Alaskans the most. And regardless of their insurance type, they can get access to free resources that allow them to connect. We then work with payers to help pay for that service so that if they're enrolled in one insurance type or another, with support to try to make it accessible. And what that's really done is made it so clinicians can have a patient in their office, doesn't need to know what their insurance type is or where they're at, but says you're diabetic, here's a resource for you to be able to monitor your sugars, your food, your exercise, get coaching, and I'll see you back in 6 months and we'll see how your hemoglobin A1C. So it really empowers that patient-physician relationship. It allows people to do it asynchronously. So if they live in a community without broadband, if they're busy fishing all summer, as we are this time of year, they're still able to access and support their health. So it isn't asking patients to come into the health service arena, but it's really helping to support them with where they're at. And then the state doing the hard part on the back end to figure out how all these payers work to do it. But again, really making this patient-focused, and no matter where someone is, they're able to work on these most preventative services where they're at.
Many of the moonshot ideas we heard were about putting patients and communities first, reduce complexity, abandon ideas that are not working, make it easy to move more or get preventive screenings. And if you think about it, we spend a lot of time trying to educate people to be healthier. What if we just made it a whole lot easier? And here to close us out are a few more good ideas, starting with a moonshot from Google's former chief health officer and our next guest, Karen DeSalvo.
I actually would have said for a long time, everyone having a longitudinal health record. I still believe that, but what I believe now is that it is what that unlocks, which is a personal health set of agents, companions, that follow people along their health journey and help them know the right questions to ask when they show up in the healthcare environment, help make sense of all their data, not only for them, but for their providers, help them know that, oh, you're short a few steps. There's a jazz festival this weekend. If you go, you love jazz and you'll get in those extra steps. So I think just really having public health in their pocket, but also having medicine in their pocket.
So I am Palev Babaria. I'm the California Department of Healthcare Services Chief Quality and Medical Officer, and we oversee our Medicaid program, which covers 1 in 3 Californians and more than 15 million people. So my moonshot idea is instead of having our current fragmented approach to prevention, which is, you know, done through public health, primary care, housing interventions, social services, the childcare sector, the education sector, what if we could break down all those silos and really think about health and create centers in communities that address people's needs holistically and in an integrated way so that I could show up with my own family in my local community center, get my prenatal care, primary care, my kids could get their, you know, 0 to 3 early development support, I could have childcare respite when I wanted, I can get all my vaccines, it ideally is tied to the school that my kids go to, and really becomes the hub of the community where we think about health holistically and not in the fragmented way that we have today.
I'm JC Cooper. My idea is going to a single nationwide electronic medical record. One unified record for every person in the United States, used by all providers in the country. Their complete up-to-date information would follow them seamlessly. Imagine that. I know it's something we've all dreamed about. It's kind of like the holy grail for people in healthcare, to be honest with you.
I'm Dr. Pooja Mittal. I'm a family doctor, a chief health equity officer at a Medicaid plan, and also a mother. And when I think about, you know, what could change the future of healthcare, things like schools can become resilience hubs where they become cooling centers during heat waves, they're air purified learning spaces during wildfire smoke, and they have gardens that feed kids and also help contribute to the curriculum.
I'm Natalie Davis. I'm the co-founder and CEO of United States of Care, an advocacy organization working on behalf of people across this country. And my moonshot is that not only will we create a healthcare system that centers people, but our process in doing it will center people along the way. We will go out and talk to people across the country to understand what matters to them, how they want the healthcare system to meet their needs, what solutions resonate across demographics, and use that to build the healthcare system we know people want, where they have better quality healthcare and where they are able to have better coordinated care where they're not the quarterback for everything they need.
So I'm Steve Downs. I'm a co-founder at Building H, which is a research organization dedicated to making everyday life healthy by design. The moonshot idea is that we need to create a system of accountability for the influences that consumer products and services have on people's health. So that when products, whether that's unhealthy food, entertainment that keeps us glued to our seats and losing sleep, or even transportation that renders us inactive, when these products negatively influence our health behaviors, that these companies are held accountable.
I would love for every kid in the U.S. to have a healthy lunch. And that actually is a giant idea that is very possible and would massively transform the way we think about health, the way we source our food, the way we partner with agriculture and education spaces. It's remarkable how far we are from it right now.
I think for me, it would be something about community, something where we could go into community and have communion with community Having people being heard and then just, you know, meeting them where they are. I think that would be very cool to just be able to do that on a bigger level.
Those last two were from Rock Health's Kitty Drasser and upcoming guest and Grey's Anatomy executive producer, Zoanne Clack. This podcast was created by me, Claudia Williams. My podcast producer is Avery Moore-Kloss. Check out the show notes for more information on all the leaders in this episode. There's more information on my background, this podcast, and our guests on our website, www.theother80.com. Until next time, I'm Claudia Williams.